Live from Warpath Podcast Studios, downloaded into the internet, uploaded into your heart, it is the 2014 Inauguration Ball Speech with yours and mine, Governor of Brohio, Adam Gokowski.
What's happening, Cleveland?
I finally did it, and thank you for all my voters out there. Thank you to Anthony and everybody who has supported me. Nick, everybody, it's been just unreal. We're opening the bottle of champagne as we speak.
Yes, we're getting ready here. Nick couldn't be here for the special moment, but I actually got my wife to agree to let me open the bottle of bubbly for Valentine's Day this week, just a little bit early.
That's okay. That explains what you guys are talking about. Friday, it's like, all right, get champagne for Friday. Cool.
Well, Friday is champagne night at our house. We've got a one-year-old, and when he goes to bed, you know, we just get drunk because, it's the only way to calm yourself down.
We used to be just watch TGIF, watch Urkel and Full House, not champagne parties.
Anymore, no. But here we go, Adam. Ready?
Here we go.
All right, there we go. We'll pour a little bit of bubbly here for you.
Oh, man, here we go.
Because and I realized for the past few episodes that we have not had the beer of the podcast. So right now we'll go with a nice Moscato Spumante Champagne from California.
I was going to say, it's barefoot. So
it's barefoot.
Don't get way too excited.
But here. Cheers to you. Cheers.
Thank you. Thank
2014
you.
Governor of Ohio.
Oh man.
Woo! Definitely tastes better with my wife.
Yeah, I'm not as cute.
A couple more, though. You might be all right.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to want to have a child with me.
No, absolutely not. But this is a pizza and pierogies. Again, Nick is knee-deep in tribe design work right now.
It's that time of the year, man.
It's that time of year. See, for the next 2 to 3 weeks, Nick will be going crazy, and then for 2 to 3 weeks after that, I'll be going crazy.
I just hope he gets my good side when he makes my sign. That giant where the old LeBron sign used to be.
Yes.
You see my mug right there, Cleveland.
Yes.
That's a joke. Don't believe that, please.
And there's only one person whose mug can be up there. Out of the four, from the ashes, rose the Phoenix, Adam Gokowski.
That's right.
It was amazing, from start to beginning, man. It was awesome, the experience so far. It sounds like we've been texting back and forth.
A little bit.
And tweeting back and forth. You've been a busy guy.
A little bit. Actually, I've been a lot of it. Everything from radio this morning, radio will be next week again. I was on Bruce Drennan today. I was on the news yesterday. I was at Tribe Tweet Up last night in Fairview Park. Everything. It was just been personal appearances left and right.
I was cracking up because every time I've tried to call you or text you since, I can't talk right now. I'm getting ready to go on stage for Tribe Tweet. And then I called you later, or I texted you later, and it's like, yeah, watching the news. And then I called you this morning, you were driving here, and you were texting me because you were on the phone with Bruce Drennan.
Well, yeah, I texted you on my, at a red light, because I don't support texting while driving. But I was at a red light, and I'm like, on my way, because I looked at the clock, I'm like, oh no. And it was like 5 minutes before I had to get here. And yeah, I was on Bruce Drennan. I had a phone interview that was on air, and, people were watching.
That is awesome. That, you can't, it can't get bigger than I love you, Cleveland.
And I brought that up to him too. And I'm going to be on there again on opening day.
Nice.
Yeah, because I back on opening day of 08, I interrupted his show, and I brought that up on air today. That I went on, and I'm like, "Love you, Bruce," and he goes on, "I love you, Cleveland." And I brought that up to him. So if you guys saw the episode today that aired at around like 6:15, or maybe around 6 o'clock, somewhere in that range,
It airs all through the night. I think he's on like every 3 hours.
Oh, is he? Then you'll get, you'll probably see it then.
Ah, but that, congratulations to you, man.
Thank you.
Hard fought.
I couldn't have done it without you, and you know that.
I like to think that, we had a piece in it, but you did the legwork, and you were the, there's only one person that can really go out there and win it. You did a hell of a job. It was funny because I was with someone from the Indians at lunch yesterday, and I sat there the whole lunch, and I'm hiccuping champagne right now, but I was trying to get the information out of this person, and nothing. And it was so funny, because you guys were supposed to find out, everybody was supposed to find out around 10 o'clock, but
yeah,
who would
up.
Have thought about it? Jimmy Haslam and Dan Gilbert in the past week have made the... I mean, hey, I love the Dolans. I think the Dolans are great people no matter what people say, and I think they're great owners. But who would have thought that the Dolans, as of this week, would have been the top owners in Cleveland sports?
You know, the thing is, you know, to go on about Browns and Cavs, I actually think they made the right decision on both spectrums.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you hit rock bottom on both franchises and the Indians are going through another uprise, you know, that's going to affect them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Browns will sell out every single season, that's for sure. But the Cavs are suffering because of it. And it's just becoming an ongoing joke when you have the Lakers literally napping on the bench and have a physical handicap with, like, you know, guys who physically could not play to the point that if anybody fouled out, they still had to play, and we still lost. Like, we should have beat the hell out of them, and we still lost.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, they had to do something. So, in fairness to the Browns and the Cavs, but especially the Browns since it was on the same day, I hear you. But you stole my thunder.
Yeah, they tried to, but the thunder's been blowing up. Let me tell you. I mean, you've been all over the media, and then all over Twitter and Facebook. It's just been crazy. I mean, the likes and the shares and the retweets. And I mean, I've seen Swisher tweeting you. I believe I saw Jim Tressel tweet you. Or
I tweeted him.
You tweeted Jim.
Well, because I'm going to officially announce this. You know, I don't know if JT is listening, but for the viewers, keep on following me on Twitter, because we're going to start a campaign to get Tressel to go to opening day and to open up Ohio with me. That's the
goal. Oh, boy.
That's the goal. So we're going to start that campaign. You know, I can easily email him, but no, we want to have the fun way and make this into a Twitter contest. So that way, he might be able to tell me no, but he's not going to tell all of us no.
Yeah.
So that's we're going to have some fun with this.
I like it. I like it. And what a better way to start off Ohio than that. I just realized that. I wasn't thinking about it. You and I probably will not be sitting together.
What?
I mean, if you're going to be, are you going to be at 117 for opening day, or where are you going to be?
117.
You're going to be at 117. I'm just going to have to work on getting some tickets over
there. My.
I mean, I'm just one of the little people now. You're the big,
people. This is not my show.
I'm just a member of the cabinet. I mean, on this show,
I'm the campaign manager for sure. But, I mean, the thing is, we got to talk to the right people.
Yeah,
we've talked to a lot of the right people so far the last month. So let's do it again. You know, you're on the list. JT is on the list. My parents and probably my buddy and my brother. Those
I
are
like
the
it.
Ones that have to for sure get it.
Just don't forget my wife.
And L and Mrs. and the Mrs. Mrs. L. But, I mean, absolutely. I'm sure...
Oh, yeah. I'm sure something will come up. If not, I'll stumble my way down there.
Yeah, and then I think Kim Gentile from Akron as well needs to be on the
list.
Oh,
yeah. She's been going nuts. She and I have been talking a lot. I've never met Kim before that. I may have met her once or twice, but I mean, my dad...
Let's introduce who she is again for those who...
Kim Gentile is one of the, I believe, associate directors.
I think so, yeah. Student Affairs?
Student Affairs, something like that. Kim, I'm so sorry. But, oh, no, she is in counseling, or what is that? The student counselors, or not student counselors.
The student government?
No. The people that help you choose your classes and stuff.
Oh,
it's been
advisory.
Advisors!
Yeah.
It's been 14 years since I've been in college, and I met with my advisors my freshman year and then stumbled my way through six, so. But enough of that, man. It's been such an awesome experience for you. What if you could say what one highlight is so far of the whole experience?
Since I won?
Mm-hmm.
Honest to God.
Since you won, but let's say through the whole thing, from start to finish, from the day you decided you were going to do it until Tuesday.
This is going to sound crazy, but I would have to say, you know, because I expected to one day meet Swisher again and to do crazy stuff like that. But the one thing that I cannot take back is the fact that in my major at Kent State, I was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, being in a media major, I was the first one to get public attention
mm-hmm.
for my work. A lot of the guys and girls that were in my major, you know, they had million-dollar egos, and that was really it. You know, where I worked my, you know, buns off for the last, God, almost 10 years of school, from high school to college and so on after that. But the fact that I was the first one out of my graduating era to get public fame, to, you know, I'm not famous, but I am going to be a, you know, public, local, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Personality.
You're a personality down at the ballpark. You're a personality around the ballpark.
And I'm the first one to, you know, get noticed.
Yeah.
You know, in a fame-driven major, that's big.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the one thing. When I'm on Twitter last night, or yesterday, when Kent State Alumni Association tweeted me, I you know, that was just unreal.
Oh, dude, that's huge. That's, I mean, it's so cool to be in something that, you know, where you'll hear this.
You'll hear a laugh track. We're on the
from your alumni base, you know. Yeah. That's so awesome. I mean, granted, it's Kent State, but
but last night at Tribe Tweet Up, it was funny because Curtis Danberg thought I was an Akron student because of the whole Trussell and Kim and everything. And I'm like, no, I went to Kent. And he looked at me and goes, "You have Akron connections and you're a Kent guy? Wow." And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's how I roll. You know, I know everybody, you know. But, I mean, the thing is, being the person I've been for the last 24 years is why this campaign was very successful. This isn't like people just showed up last minute and were like, oh, you know, this sounds cool. No, this is people knew how much I love the Indians. People knew how nice of a guy I am.
Yeah.
How well I treat everybody, you know. It doesn't matter what race, sexuality, religion, age. I'm going to treat you like a human being.
Yeah.
I'm going to treat you with respect, and I'm going to be kind. And it paid off.
Yeah,
paid
and off. You were, and I think Eric was very much the same way. You didn't hear Eric blasting anybody. And just to kind of say why we're talking about Eric, Eric and Adam actually worked together in the same office at University Tees. And, you know, the first person to come up to Adam and, you know, congratulating him, everything was Eric, and I gotta give major props to Eric.
He went straight to the fire. You know, he was not afraid, and obviously it sucks that, you know, somebody had to lose.
Yeah.
But that's the nature of the storm. He was a beyond a class act.
Yeah,
you know? And he even made a status for me.
Nice.
And he you know, I didn't get to see him today, but you know, I put in my status, you know, he's been nothing but great.
Yeah.
He's been a class act.
And here's an invite to Eric. Eric, you're welcome on the show anytime, and I can't wait to see you and Eric out there cheering, leading on some.
Oh, you'll see Eric for sure.
In that red tank top. If I had guns like that, I'd probably do the same thing.
Oh, I don't blame him one bit.
Oh, yeah.
Thing is, I can have guns like that, but I also have hairy Polish arms. So, you know, I would need a lot to even try. But, you know, Eric has just been, you know, outstanding. And he's been a good guy.
Yeah, he has been. And, you know, we won't stay on it too long. And as Adam's campaign advisor, campaign manager, and also the, I guess now I could kind of be your, what are those guys, the Speaker of the House, or not Speaker of the House, the...
I think you hold a chair.
Press Secretary.
I'm not, something like that.
You know, I'm going to go out there and, to the other guys, the other two that are just blasting my boy, calling for impeachment already, tweeting out stuff to Swish or calling him lame and the Indians lame, and F-bombing people. Guys, you've got Twitter, I've got a microphone. Here's the deal. Chill out. It was a campaign that was for fun with the Indians. You lost. You lost. My boy here, he had the connections. He had the right attitude. Had the right attitude. Be big people. Be proud losers. Don't be sore losers.
The thing is, we're all here for the same reason. And, you know, they were good guys when I met them. You know, I'll be honest, I'm disappointed on, you know, the reaction. But, you know, if they have a problem, you know, speak like adults, you know, and that's my biggest thing.
Oh, yeah.
If you felt like you were treated unfair during this election, you know, speak.
Yep.
You know, and that's my biggest thing. I mean, come on the show. You're more than welcome. I mean, open invite to anybody, really.
Open invite. There's
as
open mic.
As long as there's respect on the mic.
Exactly. Because, well, I may not have the guns. Oh, I'll bring the hammer down. And this is just firing the warning shot here, guys. Microphone with a couple hundred people that listen every week.
Well, I'm not even going to say it's, you know, a warning shot. I'm going to say it's an open invite because, you know, we have nothing to prove, man.
Right.
We won.
Exactly.
You know, we did our job. We did exactly what we needed to do, and we won fair and square. It was no foul play. It was nothing but fun.
Yeah.
I had fun, and the thing is, if I would have lost, whoever would have won, I would have been the first one to congratulate him.
Absolutely. We probably would have brought him on this show all the time.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, yeah, it would have sucked to loss and to lose, but that's the nature of the storm, man.
You get into competition to win or lose. You don't get into competition to tie.
No.
And unless you're in soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
So, or hockey. But you
sometimes
know,
football. But
sometimes football once every 20 years. But regardless, guys, be a little classy. I heard somebody fire off lame to Swisher. Somebody rip Kipnis for his promo he did for our last show. I mean, if you're a big fan, love the tribe.
So love the game, man.
He loved the game and be big about it. But that's all we'll say about it. I promised I wouldn't go too deep in it because I wanted to go farther. But I respect our governor of Ohio's wishes. Did you? He's the governor.
Yeah, in case you were wondering what my wishes were, it was just to have respect for all three of the other candidates. And, you know, we did exactly what we did today. So.
Exactly. You know, so let's talk about this a little. You know, we won't get too far into it because we've gone about 16 minutes so far on just the governor of Ohio. And we do want to talk a little bit about the actual Indians playing on the field, not the Indians in the stands. But so what can we expect coming up this season? Any, you know, I've got a few ideas of some things I'd like to see, but, you know.
So we're talking on the field this time?
We're talking on it. We're talking off the field that we expect from our governor of
off
Ohio.
Okay, cool. Oh, God. Well, there's tons of fun. You know, and I was talking last night. I want to be on camera for these. Like, I want not just me on camera. I want the section on camera. I want people to, you know, wave on camera, say, hi, Mom. I want people to, you know, go on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook the next day and see a picture of the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have an idea that, you know, before a game, like, for example, when Omar gets in the Hall of Fame, he comes to Ohio and stands on the field, and he has the whole stands behind him as a backdrop.
Nice.
Stuff like that, you know, fun stuff like that. Just at the same time, we got to go on the beat of John Adams, too. Like, we play off him, we play off, because he's been doing this forever.
Yeah.
We play off the game itself. You know, I'm going to get to the game early, talk to whoever shows up early, make people feel comfortable, get them alive. And my biggest thing was, we're not at a library. We can use our outdoor voices, you know. let's have some fun.
I love
it. Down, kids.
And so now I've got something that I'd like to throw out there because I think I spoke on this on some earlier episodes. I know I've talked to you and Nick about it. My favorite TV show is a show called The Impractical Jokers.
Oh, my God.
And they had one where they went to a baseball game.
Minor league game, right?
Minor league game, and they had to pick a chant out of a hat, and they had to go down in the stands. And the guys had written these chants for the guys, for the others. But they had to go down, and one of them, Sal Volcano, had to chant, "Let's get sexy," and get everybody in the whole section chanting, let's get sexy. And then the other one, Brian Quinn, had to chant, "My wife left me." Now, I'm not saying we have to go do that kind of stuff. Although a "Let's get sexy" chant, you know, would be absolutely hysterical. But, you know, I would love to see where we have a hat and pass it around the that section 117. And
you make it sound like, who was it, Ozzy Osbourne who passed a cup, fans spit in it, and then drink it? Like, is that where we're going?
No, I'm not going.
I'm teasing you. That's what I just thought of with that hat pass.
Fight a head off of a bat or something, or of a dove, you know, on the camera. But no, I would love to see it where you're out there and we get, you know, everybody in that section involved. But, you know, even just fans that want to send. So right now, I'm setting it up. Send to warpathpodcast.com. Or not warpathpodcast.com, but Warpath Podcast on Facebook or at Warpath Podcast. Tweet us or send us on Facebook your ideas of chants you'd like to hear.
Oh, yeah. I mean, any is good.
Yeah. I mean, I think we need to come up with an Indians, kind of like, you know, in soccer, they've got the songs.
You know, the thing is, thinking through it, like, there's a lot of stuff that I don't want to take because it's so good, I don't want to rip off the other franchises.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like, the Yankees have the one where they don't sit down or they don't stop until the player acknowledges them. Just chant their name. And I've seen that in person. I was in the bleachers in 2011 at an Indians-Yankees game in New York. That was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Got to come up with something along those
lines. We got to come up with something, yeah. But, I mean, I think, you know, if we could come up with just individual cheers from you guys that Attic can use, you know, maybe it's the sixth inning governor of Ohio cheer or something like that, you know.
And
granted, there's going to be the Ohio cheer.
You know, we're going to have to, you know, find, like, our sweet Caroline. We got to find our, you know, I actually put some thought in this way before this competition. Like, if we could have our own song, something that makes no sense to the game, but people love to sing to it.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, Daydream Believer by the Monkees. Like, just something, like, out of the freaking blue. You know?
Hard going green, do I, daydream believer.
You know, that can pick up, like, just because it's, like, very quirky, oh, makes no sense. The problem is, how do we go about this and release that idea?
You know what, though, I think would be a good one? Dreamweaver.
No. No, Wayne and Garth would love that.
They would.
I could. No. I don't know. For some, and this, I mean, has been going on for a while. Always wanted to have it Daydreamer or whatever that monkey song.
Daydream Believer?
Yeah. Just that. For some reason, the vocals on it is just something, you know, you can just belt out.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes sense.
I like it. There's a lot that we can do. I mean, there's multiple songs.
Okay.
We're back. We're going to start off. We shut off the recorder there for a few minutes because my son Johnny wanted to make funny faces at Adam and talk.
I don't blame him. Story of my life.
1-year-old boys and 24-year-old women.
Yeah.
Just, not anymore because you're the governor of Ohio. So.
Dude.
We're going to kind of move away from Governor of Ohio, but, you know, just getting back to it real quick, just send us your ideas, because I think that could make it a lot of fun, you know, like Adam said.
It's a democracy, as my voice cracked as I said that. It's a democracy.
Maybe people. We need to do a Brady Bunch song?
Yeah, it sounds like Peter.
Changes! I'm actually old enough to remember that.
Sadly enough, I know exactly what you're talking about. But back to normal, though. Yeah, if you guys have ideas, please tweet it to us.
Yes. So we're going to now, we're about 22 and a half minutes in, and this is, again, where Nick would tell us to start speeding things up.
He beats us with a stick.
We're going to do 10, at least, maybe not 10 good minutes, but we're going to try to fill up 10 good minutes with some baseball talk here. I thought, you know, just we were kind of researching what to talk about because spring training just started.
Today or yesterday?
Yesterday it started up. And by the time that this actually gets onto the internet, it'll probably have been 2-3 days. But Paul Hoynes had a great top 10 questions facing the Cleveland Indians for 2014. And Adam has not seen the article yet.
Nope, I said, don't show it to me. I want to go on the fly.
So I am going to go ahead and just kind of rattle off these top 10 and see what our governor of Ohio thinks. But real quick, what did you think of at TriFest when Kenny Lofton said that the wild card game does not count as a playoff appearance?
It's old school, not admitting to new school ways, man. That's all it really is.
I mean, I get what he's saying because, yeah, it is new school, but that's actually not the regular season. No. They played all the regular season games after regular season, postseason.
Postseason baseball. The thing is, if you think about it, his 95-year American League Division Series – that was not, at one point, not around.
Right.
American League Championship Series, at one point, was not around. You look at the history of baseball, it was always the World Series, but for years, they didn't have any rounds. It was just, bam, you're in the World Series.
Yep.
So, times have changed, Kenny.
Yep, and another big thing before we start into the top 10, alleluia, Michael Brantley has been signed to 4 more years.
Well, that's how you got to do it, you know? People think, free agency, that's how you have to do it. No, you can just sign in-house, man. You just re-sign players.
Especially a guy like him. Now they got to get Kipnis. But we'll get into that as we get into this. So, all right, question number one. Is Danny Salazar ready to go wire-to-wire as a starter in his first full big league season?
Starter, yes. Ace, no. I would say he was a 3 at best.
Yeah, I think he's going to be your number 2 or number 3, probably fall back to 3 or 4.
It's going
to
be Masterson, McAllister, then him.
Really? So McAllister, not Kluber.
Well, that's going to be the 3 or 4. It's going to be either Salazar and Kluber.
Okay. I like McAllister in that number 2, unless they get a Waldo back. But I don't
think that's going to happen.
But Salazar at that number three. I really like it. It's funny. Bass. I feel like I've been reading that they're going to put, you know, Kluber at number two. Everybody's talking about Kluber being
going to be McAllister.
Going to break that year, but I have a feeling he's the four. Myself, Kluber. So
yeah.
I like that answer. It was interesting, you know, what will probably happen. Hoynes said Salazar wins 12 games and bounces between Cleveland and Columbus a couple of times before getting established in the big leagues.
That makes sense.
It makes sense. I would take it. 12 wins from Salazar, that's big.
Yeah, because he's going to get no decisions.
Yeah, he's going to have no decisions, and I think those no decisions will be close. I don't think you're going to see him be the kind of guy that gets shelled a lot.
No.
No. Question number two, does Justin Masterson sign a multi-year deal?
Yes. Yes, he does, because I don't know who else would. I really don't. I honestly don't think they're going to sign anybody else.
Okay. You think, okay.
Actually, it probably made no sense because I was looking at my phone. I got a text from somebody.
I was wondering.
And I was like just rambling. No, I think they're going to sign him because you got to build franchises around pitchers like him.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that by them signing Brantley, it kind of reminds me of 93.
Yeah, exactly.
When they got Bell, they got a couple of those other guys, Baerga. I forget who all was in that era where they got them. Sandy Alomar, I think, was number one. But
they sent Joe Carter.
Yeah. So I think that that's the kind of building that they got to do. Kind of a la early to mid-90s, my high school years, watching them sign these young guys to long-term contracts that, I mean, really, in all honesty, for the next 2 years, what they're paying to Brantley is not bad. They need to convince Masterson, okay, Masterson, we are spending money on the guys that are going to be here that are going to help us win. The
thing is, guys are also going to take lower cuts to play for Terry Francona.
I think so, too. Yeah. And hopefully they can convince Masterson that. I mean, personally, what I would think that they should do, go into this, they're getting ready to go to arbitration. He's asking 11.8. They're offering 8.05. Go in there, give the guy $10 million for this year. And, you know, use that as a way, as leverage to, hey, okay, we're going to give you more than we want. But if we can get you in at, I'm trying to think, somebody, a pitcher just signed for like 3-4 years, $36 million. Or they were talking about somebody just signing. If you can get him for something around there, I think that's a steal.
Yeah, for somebody like him, you build franchises around.
Exactly. I mean, try for something 3 years.
Make him your franchise pitcher.
Yeah, exactly. Do it. We haven't had the guy that we've re-signed that's been the franchise pitcher. It'll mean so much to the fan base, and I think it'll mean so much to the guys. I think then when you have to go into Kipnis, you know, I'd love for them to get Kipnis this year. And I told him to his face, dude, I hope they get you signed long-term.
What did he say in return?
He just smiled.
You know? Yeah, he's not going to really.
Johnny was kicking me at the time that just happened. That happened, but all right. Hoynes said, Masterson and Indians avoid arbitration, settling on 1 year, $9.925 million midpoint, close to my 10 mil.
Yeah.
Masterson turns in a second straight solid season as the ace, but the two sides are unable to reach an agreement on a multi-year deal. Masterson files for free agency at the end of the season. God, I hope we don't get that.
Yeah, let's hope not for that.
Yeah. All right, number three, we actually just both said that. What are the chances that Ubaldo Jimenez re-signs before opening day? I'm going to give it a 17% chance.
I'm going flat zero because I think the Masterson signing is going to affect it.
Okay. I personally would prefer Masterson over Jimenez, but if they only go to a one-year contract with Masterson, I think they still could kind of try to figure something out with Ubaldo. But it's going to be low case scenario, low percentage. You know, what Hoynes says, we'll probably have Indians and Jimenez, we'll keep talking, but he eventually signs a multi-year deal with Toronto or Arizona. For some reason, I see Jimenez in Toronto.
So do I.
I mean, it just feels like that's the kind of place he should go.
It's going to be another Toronto bust, though.
It is.
That's how I see it. It's going to be like
Ari Dickey.
Yeah. You know, they give him all this huge money. But, you know, and that's the thing with a lot of athletes. You know, even in basketball, that Lynn guy, Jeremy Lynn, he has one breakout, like, 2 month span, and they just sign him for a ridiculous amount of money. That doesn't prove anything.
It doesn't do anything for you. It just proves that you're gun happy to get your, or gun crazy to, you know, shoot off your bullets and fire all your bullets and get the guy that's the flavor of the month.
Yeah.
All right, number four, can John Axford close?
I'm going to say yes.
All right.
Just because, you know, I really don't know too much about him, but he can't be worse than Perez.
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood. You know, towards the end of the year last year, he actually seemed like he was picking it up. He was getting back to his old ways. He had 13 appearances last year with the Cardinals after being traded by the Brewers, and they were important. He was able to reestablish his fastball after the Cardinals told him he was tipping his pitches. Maybe, I mean, look at what our bullpen guys have done with guys that, I mean, Jimenez, with McAllister, with Kluber, the years that they had.
Yeah.
Everybody in our bullpen seems like they are top flight guys that you want to be learning from. And I think the other great thing is you have Sandy Alomar in the dugout and Gomes with behind the plate. And
yeah.
He is, from all that I'm hearing, the second coming for us.
Yeah. And that's why I say it. You know, the coaching staff is the greatest in the league. We'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree. All right, question number five. We'll probably have him once a closer, always closer. May take a couple games, but he'll be fine. Five, who will replace setup man Joe Smith in the eighth inning?
Good question.
Last year, before the season started, you thought you had your true number eighth inning guy in Vinny Pisano.
It may be him. I think it's his year.
You think it's his year?
Yeah, he's going to come back from last year.
I tend to think it's going to be Cody Allen.
Him too.
The guy's got just flames. Just throws flames.
It's going to go back and forth.
But I kind of like seeing – I'd love to see them ease Pestano back in and make him our seventh inning guy. And then you've got Cody Allen as the eighth inning. But you can't go wrong with either one of them in my book. And Nick's not here for us to express our man crush on Vinny P, which is really weird because I haven't heard Nick talk about Vinny P in a while. So
it's been a moment, man.
It has been. What will probably happen, Francona uses a number of relievers through the seventh and eighth inning, as he did last year.
Yeah.
All right. Number six, who wins the fifth starter's job among Carlos Carrasco, Trevor Bauer, and Josh Tomlin?
I would prefer Josh Tomlin. I think it's going to go Carrasco. I think Bauer's too young.
Tomlin is just tough as nails, you know, and I'd love to see him just come back and do it. But Carrasco, I think, if they can channel the psyche, is going to be the guy. They got to just get his brain under control. It's not quite like Fausto Carmona / Roberto Hernandez.
Whatever that man's name is.
There's some wires crossed up there because he's got all the stuff to do it.
And that's the thing. You can't coach mental.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. You're going to go out there and you're going to either be great or you're not.
Right. Right. Yeah.
If you don't think you can do it, you can't coach that. You can't coach self-esteem.
Yeah. Now, what will they probably do? Carrasco is the winner. Tomlin and Bauer, split multiple starts in the spot.
That's what I figured.
Probably. All right. Is Carlos Santana really going to play third base?
Yes.
I agree. Yes.
Yes.
I think Chisenhall will be around, get a drink of water.
Mike Avilas is going to take over for Chisenhall.
Last year I was a big Chisenhall supporter, like the guy, but I'm a big Avilas guy. And I'm a big Santana guy.
I'm going to go with this. I think we're going to see more and more of Santana at DH.
Okay.
I think we're going to see him a lot at third, but he's going to split time with Michael Vilas.
All right, here's a question that's outside of the 10 questions. Is Lonnie Chisenhall in a Cleveland Indians major league or minor league uniform by the end of spring training?
I think yes.
Yes. Columbus?
Indians, I think he'll be bench.
He'll be bench. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if he was going to be the next Matt LaPorta spending a lot of time down in Columbus.
No.
I'm going to say bench. Signed by Boston, or Baltimore.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah. All right, what happens? Santana is going to be the everyday third baseman. When can we expect, or what can we expect from free agent outfielder David Murphy?
Pretty much the same field as Drew Stubbs, but he's going to have more bats.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. More bats. It's just nothing exciting. Yeah. Nothing crazy. I don't know that he'll be quite the outfielder that Stubbs was.
Stubbs is a crazy arm. Yeah. And he's fast.
Yeah, fast as lightning. But I think he's going to be solid.
Yeah, there's nothing to worry about.
Points thinks he's going to bounce back and turn a solid season. 280 versus right-handers, 259 versus lefties. Oh, no, that's what his career is. And he says didn't do that by accident. So he says he's going to be around there. All right, question number nine. Can the Goon Squad deliver for the second straight year?
I mean, in dog years, Giambi's a lot older. You know, when you look at it that way, 1 year more.
43,
that's not a kid.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he'll be on the roster on opening day, to be honest.
Really?
Wow. It's just, you know, but you got to look at it this way. If we don't have roster space for a 43-year-old man, something good is
It's a good thing. You know? I agree. And
yeah, it was great last year, but, you know, another year older is hard. It's not like he went from 27 to 28. No, he's going a significant leap.
I don't disagree with you, but I think he makes the roster. I mean, again, Murphy's kind of in that goon squad. Vilas is in there, but I think, you know, he less and less becomes a member and becomes more part of the regular rotation.
I was going to say, Vilas is going to have a big year.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a huge year. I think the goon squad does deliver, but I don't think they have to deliver quite so much because I think we're going to be able to rely on Swisher and Bourne a little bit more.
And you
got to
look at it. Jan Gomes is out of the goon squad.
Jan Gomes is regular. He's regular day catcher. But I do think that they're not going to have to rely on the goon squad so much this year. And that I think that's the key thing is the hope. What Coin says, Giambi makes the club along with Mike Avilas, Rayburn, and a couple of new bench players. A lot of flexibility across the diamond. God, I forgot about Rayburn talking about this.
Yeah, Rayburn's around. He's also, you know.
The question is, he's every other year guy.
He's also an unsung hero.
Yeah, he is. He is. Number 10, how did the Indians handle the expectations of 2014?
I think they'll do fine, man. Mm-hmm. I think they're just going to go out there and do what they have to do, man. It's just going to be a continuance. It's, you know, like after we lost that game, weirdly enough, I was not terribly upset because I knew if we would have won that game, the next rounds would have been very, very rough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's three rounds of hell. And we would have had to face the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
I compared them to, say, an eighth grader. They can beat up on the seventh and sixth graders, but they would just get destroyed with a varsity team.
Right.
But those eighth graders grow up to be high schoolers, maybe. And that's where I see it. You know, they just had some growing up to do.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of it. You know, I think the key thing is we don't have the, what was the baseball classic last year?
World Baseball.
World Baseball Classics. As Drubal Cabrera hopefully will come in. And mind will be set. Pitchers won't be all exhausted from the World Baseball Classics. And I think, like we said, I think we're going to see more out of Bourne and out of Swisher this year. They're going to be
that's what everyone's been saying too.
Settled in. I mean, Swisher, that was a big year for him last year. To leave New York, come to Cleveland, be the star guy, have a new baby, new ball. I mean, you know.
Everything was new.
It's
homecoming to boot.
It's one thing to feel the weight of the Yankees on you if you're a fourth or fifth guy. And you have guys like Derek Jeter, Alex Rodriguez, those guys around you. But when you come into Cleveland and you've got a starving fan base and you're a darling to them, that's tough.
You need a governor to back you up.
And you need a governor to back you up. And they've got it. And they've got it. So that is the top 10 questions for spring training for the Pizza and Pierogi Show. We're going to just go ahead and just start wrapping it up here.
We got to give Nick his own hour.
We're going to have to give Nick his own hour. And I think maybe what we're going to have to do is we're going to actually have to take the mics to Nick's house and just put him in front of him.
Nick's War Podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Nick, and I'm going to just destroy Anthony.
Yes, exactly.
Adam's all right. Anthony, he's going
to
get it.
Yeah, he's going to give it to me. No, wait, that's weird. No, but Nick, we love you, man. Just keep designing.
It's been too long, dude. I haven't physically hugged you in a while. I don't think we've ever hugged. So let's do it sometime.
All right, so your next big appearance is this next coming week.
Well, I got two coming up.
Okay.
Both on Tuesday. I'm going to be on the radio. I'll tweet that out. I'm going to be honest. It's on a Mentor station called the Cougar. It's going to be pretty cool. And, that's on Tuesday morning. And then on Tuesday during the day, I will be on, not on anything. I'm going to be at a press conference at Progressive Field.
Nice. Well, I'll be appearing Friday night in the TV room with my wife and my son watching Despicable Me for Valentine's Day. And then on Saturday, I'll be appearing at Home Depot, picking up some stuff for around the house next little Saturday. So come see me there.
I think we're getting our cue right now.
We're getting our cue that it's time to finish because Mater's being thrown in my face. And this is Anthony LaGuardia and Adam Gokowski for Warpath Podcast. Downloaded to the internet. Uploaded into your heart.
And go Tribe!